You're listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 440.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Station and part 7 of the 8-part series which covers my April 2017 120-mile walk on Devon's coast-to-coast path, the Two Moors Way, from Wembury in the south, across Dartmoor and Exmoor to Lynmouth in the north. Part 7 is dedicated to the last 2 days and my arrival at Lynmouth. Part 8 is the soundtrack from the video, where I return home and go through the entire contents of the pack with comments, good and bad, about the gear I took with me. This trip was approached from a lightweight perspective, using a sub 10 kilo pack and sleeping under a small tarp in a bivvy. I managed to achieve this for most of the trip, however, as you've already heard, there's been one or two nights where I was offered alternative accommodation, one of which fell into the more comfortable category at Tar Steps Farm. I could make excuses, but I won't. This was a holiday break after all, and if you can't treat yourself every now and then, well, what's the point? Especially when it's pouring with rain. So we picked this up with only 18 miles to go to get to the coast. However, I was in no rush, and somewhere along the way, I had to fit in another wild camp. So after a good night's sleep, a little bit of luxury and a great breakfast, I was set up for a day of meandering, which went something like this.
Just gone 10 o'clock on Monday morning, Bank Holiday Monday. And I've just left Tar Steps Farm, having felt guilty last night, booking in and staying in the room until I heard the rain. I knew it was forecast, but it was torrential all night long. In fact, it's only finished around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock this morning. And looking at the camping field that they've got beneath the pub, which actually offers plenty of camping options, you'd have to really choose to go on the higher mounds, because a lot of the lower ones now are got at least 2 or 3 inches of water in them. Such was the deluge. Spoke to Hilary, who's the landlady, possibly the owner there actually, and she was saying she gets a lot of people coming through, and a lot of people don't realise they can camp down on the piece of land here in front of the river. So that's a good bit of good news. I also reminded her and explained how the Two Moors Way was being relaunched, so she was keen to get involved. But that aside, if you ever are in the area and want a delightful pub in a delightful location that serves excellent food at reasonable prices, then I have to say you could do much worse than go to the Tar Steps Farm. Which ironically is a strange name, isn't it? It must have been a farm originally before it turned into a bar, restaurant and hotel. But there you go, such is, what am I looking at there? Rope bridge. Wow. That looks exciting. Anyway, so today's walk is Withypool, Simmons Bath and then Lynmouth. And somewhere between these three locations, I've got to do an overnight to slow down. So I'm sauntering now, literally sauntering. As I say, it's gone 10 o'clock. I'd normally be walking by about 3 hours by now and got most of the miles under my belt. So it feels really odd to have had a very lazy morning, lazy breakfast all cooked for you, sitting there twiddling my thumbs, doing my Instagram posts, bit of social media, watching a bit of TV, feeling terribly guilty that I'm not actually out putting the miles in. But as I reflected last night, a lot of that comes down to the fact that I did a couple of long days just to get past some of the wild camping issues. Weather forecast today is, again, dull, overcast, rain potentially this afternoon, about 3 o'clock-ish, which would be when I'd be possibly trying to find somewhere to hunker down for a bit. I've just passed one of the Exmoor Wardens, who's obviously out on the patrol, so that's keeping in mind policing they do for such activities as wild camping, I guess. But nothing further to report, really. Been wondering about the actual walk itself, the route. I'm going to write it up for the Backpackers magazine, the Backpackers Club, and also for a Two Moors website, I think, and try and explain the approach and how I've had to adapt it as I go along. But beyond that, nothing else to report, so I'm going to switch off now and come back to you a bit later on. Almost 3 o'clock, and I've just spent the last 2 or 3 hours in the tea rooms at Withypool, making a couple of pots of tea last as long as possible, and getting a sandwich. Bought a few things from the stores over the road. I get the feeling it's a husband and wife team, the wife running the coffee shop or tea shop and the husband running the general stores. And I asked them about campsites, and they said, well, the guy in the store said, well, you can camp in my front garden, but it's a bit public, which actually is directly opposite the tea rooms, which, if circumstances required it, would be fine, because you've got the toilets directly opposite as well, so just a little bit public. But would you believe, I'm just packing up to leave and I met my very first backpackers. Husband and wife team carrying an immense load between them. Admittedly, they just threw it all together and dragged stuff out the loft apparently before they came away, but they started off on Sunday before me, and it's a holiday for them, so they're not putting the same sort of time pressures on themselves that I have. The conversation we had actually was quite interesting regarding the camping and the wild camping. They'd certainly struck a little bit more luck than I did, finding, as by chance, they saw a field, there was a farmer in the opposite field, just coming out of the gateway, and they asked him if he could pitch there, and he said, yeah, go for your life. A few other places as well, which certainly weren't on my map or in the guidebook, which they picked up off the map that they were using, the name of which I didn't pick up actually. It looked like a Harvey's, but it was the map of the Two Moors Way anyway, starting from Ivy Bridge. So that had a few more campsites mentioned that I was aware of. And Ramblefest, I think, was the name of the other website, ramblefest.org. And they picked up a couple of places from that. So, like me, they'd not sort of set a definite plan as regards where they were camping that night, but had hoped to find a little bit more as they came along. And certainly one or two places that I've been through and seen the camping signs, but they were too early for me. Yeo being one village. They stayed at that campsite there. Apparently that was adequate. I understand they had some sort of function on, so they just basically had a field to themselves. So, interesting conversation because we all had different experiences, but again, very similar. Both agreed that we've been lucky with the weather. They pitched up, they camped actually last night in the heavy rain, again in this farmer's field, which they had permission for, and they've had one or two nights in a pub hotel to ease some pain, I believe, he was going through, because he was carrying a fairly large amount, and I think his feet were feeling the pressure. They also had a young pup with them as well. It looked like a cocker spaniel, a nice little thing, and she seemed to be more than happy, and they seemed happy that it was no bigger because of the number of stars they had to actually carry her over, rather than let her through, or she was unable to get through because of the fencing. Like me, they agreed that midsection could be a little bit more camp friendly, and I'm sure it's possible for it to be that way. Just needs a case of raising the awareness for people prepared to offer that service and encouraging them to put some signs out, because we both agreed that if there was one thing that was severely lacking, it was, you know, camping this way signs pointing off the Two Moors Way. So I've come out of Withypool. The weather has turned very pleasant again. It's now sun creeping through the patchy clouds. The wind is not particularly chilly, and as you can hear on the microphone, it's not really bothering the as I walk along this lane up onto the common and then start to walk across the one of the last sections of Exmoor before I get to Simmonsbath. Interestingly, they told me that they'd spoken to the landlord at Simmonsbath Hotel, and he said, yeah, you can pitch up on our beer garden if you want to. So that's a possibility if I don't find anywhere out of the way and just right for a final wild camp. There's always the Simmonsbath pub beer garden, which could be a dangerous place, as we all know. But nothing much else to report. I've left them behind because they were, as I say, carrying quite a load. But perhaps if I pitch up somewhere, you never know, I might see them again. As I say, just before 3 o'clock, sign off until later.
You're listening to The Outdoor Station, the home of UK-based audio and video podcasts for lovers of the great outdoors everywhere. Since 2005, over 9 million people have listened and over 2 million have watched the videos. Sharing the passion, appreciation and understanding for the outdoors world.
Just gone 4:30 and I am still slowly making my way to Simmonsbath. And the wood that I'd sort of earmarked as a camping spot, which would have been actually wonderful right next to the river, but there was enough coverage that you would have been completely shielded from everywhere, has been devastated. It's been completely cut down. So I'm now continuing to Simmonsbath, sort of taking my time, trying to find somewhere where I could pitch up out of the way. I stopped today. Fast running stream and use the travel tap water filter to filter off a couple of litres of water, and I've picked up a few handfuls of wood from the obviously decimated wood area, which is all nice and dry. It's been obviously there for some time, so I've got my fuel. All I need now is a location that's off the path, but well, pleasant, hopefully. And tonight, that would be wonderful because the sun is just giving a beautiful amount of warmth at the moment. A few clouds dotted around. A light breeze, but it isn't too cold. All in all, a very pleasant evening. So, as I say, 4:30, it would be good to find a little spot to hide away on. Anyway, according to the map, this next gully I see in front of me should have a small wooded area. Whether it's larger trees or not, I don't know. And perhaps that will offer a result. Otherwise, it's not quite going to be wild camping, but I think it might end up being the Simmonsbath beer garden, which it's nice to have got that in the bag, but really it's not exactly the wild camping for the last night I was hoping for. Anyway, I'll fill you in a bit later on. That's really disappointing. 5:05 at the moment. As I say, a very pleasant evening. The sun is actually warm. The breeze is fairly warm too. Certainly warmer than we've had all week. And that little copse I was telling you about is, as you can hear, right next to the river. And it's a lovely staggered beach. So you have the main path sort of 20 metres behind me rather, then you have one of the old hazel walls that's overgrown, so it creates a natural barrier, and then you have this two-tiered beach which goes down to the river. However, the beach is all shale. And although there's grassy sections of it and hoof marks where the Exmoor ponies have obviously come down to drink, I can't get a peg in anywhere. And I can't find a way or think in a way of pitching the tarp in the right place off one of these trees that puts it where I want it to be. Which is really disappointing because it's a lovely evening. It'd be great just to sit and chill out in the bivvy and just set up. But I'm not prepared to risk a night without the tarp, I don't think. The forecast isn't for rain, or it wasn't the last time I looked this morning. Although, having said that, it was forecast rain at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and that didn't arise. So you've got to allow for, obviously, changes and things. But it looks like I'll have to go to the Simmons Bath Hotel, which I think is literally just round the corner, unless there's a little grassy knoll or something that would be ideal. How frustrating. Such a lovely afternoon too. So I'm just feeding the solo stove at 20 past seven and arrived at Simon's Bath at just before six, when the pub, hotel, whatever it's called, was supposed to open at six, and there was 15 walkers sitting outside the pub, and apparently the landlord or whoever had shouted something out of the window, and they said it was a bit Basil faulty. So we sat there for 10, 15 minutes till about quarter past six and gave up and popped round the corner where there's some public toilets and actually a flat piece of grass. And I say we, I'm referring to the couple I met earlier on at the cafe, Caroline and Pete, as I now know them. And so we all decided that discretion was a better part of valour rather than waiting for this particular person. Half the walking party decided to wander off. They've got friends in the area, so they've gone to see them. The other handful of people just stayed waiting patiently. Two cars turned up and stayed waiting patiently. And in the end, most people just wandered off. What a way to run a business. That's all I can say. Anyway, we finally got round the corner to a nice flat, say grassy area, where we've thought, oh, stuff it, we'll just pitch up here. And just as we did, the heavens opened and it poured, getting us all soaking wet and very frustrated and halfway putting up our different shelters. Anyway, cutting a long story short, it's now 20 past seven and I have brought my pasta to the boil. It's had a nice rolling boil for the last 5 minutes and shoved it in the pot cosy. And I'm just sitting in, finishing off the rest of the bits of wood that I've collected today as I came through the wooded area that was no longer a wooded area, which is just giving a nice little bit of heat and evening glow. The clouds and the rain has gone, leaving a fairly pleasant blue sky actually, but the sunshine's definitely on its way out now. So we're all sitting about to eat, or they're eating their food, and I shall be eating mine in a minute. And I don't know whether they're going to pop down and try and get a drink. I don't know if it's worth it really. I don't really want to spend the money with the guy. What a shame. It's, we were all saying, what a shame. This whole area is missing such opportunities. So I think when I do the video and chart the route as part of the video, I will try and highlight some of the camping spots or farms that have got camping or whatever, just so people can see that it is probably possible, but you're going to have to do an awful lot of research first to really get it sorted, or to be comfortable when you do your route that you've got your accommodation. Because I certainly felt by the time I got halfway across, it was going to be hard work. And I suppose it has proved to be, really. So this is the last night. Looking forward to my food. Bivvy bag and tarps all set up, just in case it rains again tonight, which is possible. And I'm looking forward to getting into Lynmouth tomorrow. Don't think I've got anything else to add, really. I should probably be getting my head down in the next hour or so. No doubt we'll have a bit of conversation, a bit of chat, but I'm sure it's coming to the end of the day and it'd be nice to get off early and get a fresh start tomorrow. We're all a bit apprehensive that some Exmoor warden will turn up and say, get off my land.
but we're just hoping that we explain that the hotel, Simmons Bath Hotel, when Pete phoned them, said, yeah, you can camp on our garden. We can just say, well, look, because they actually didn't open and couldn't be asked to open, then we've had to find other locations. But there's a word of warning if you're coming this way, not to rely on this place or anything particular, which is a shame. Anyway, let's finish on a positive note. Been a good trip, been an interesting trip. Yeah, been an enjoyable trip, been lucky with the weather. Had a few wet and down moments, but really nothing much at all. So I'll do a review perhaps when I'm sitting on the beach with some fish and chips tomorrow. Caroline, Pete and myself were looking forward to celebrating our last night of the walk. And as we sat outside, patiently waiting with the other walkers, we all discussed how this location was ideal for either the first night or the last night of a Two Moors Way trip, depending on which way you were heading. Hopefully, as the Two Moors Way gets more publicity, the community will take note and things will turn round for the better. But it's a lovely spot to celebrate either your first or your last night. Good morning. It's 5:40 on the last day, and this is now Tuesday. So it's been a week since I started from Wembury. Quite a good night, actually, considering how it started with the weather yesterday. As in that huge downpour we had when we were all pitching our various shelters. I can't work out whether it rained last night, as I slept really well, and the tarp is wet on both sides, one side being condensation, obviously, the other side being the rain. But it looks like it's going to be another grey day. Certainly no idea of sunshine at the moment. I've been lying awake for the last half hour or so, I suppose, slowly coming to, listening to the dawn chorus. I do love the dawn chorus. It does bring alive the day. And slowly brings you to your senses. I've just been reflecting on the walk, really. How rich and varied it's been, and again a pleasure to walk across our country, coast to coast. A real privilege. And although the landscape has been fairly similar from south to north, it's been a real eye-opener to walk through a part of the country that I've normally just driven through very quickly on the way down to South Devon or Cornwall or whatever over the years, and actually see what goes on in the heart of Devon. Little communities, little gatherings, little clusters of properties which must have a fascinating history and stories to tell about the rural community of years gone by. But like most places around the UK, a lot of the properties have been turned into, luxury accommodation, because it is only the wealthier people that can afford to live out there. The people that actually work in the rural communities have had to find work, employment and obviously accommodation away from the rural community. And so they actually can't afford to return. Apart from the farmers, and certainly some of the farmers went through, there were farms which were very well kept. There are farms which were obviously contract farmers where they actually take on a lot of other people's properties and really commercially go for it. And one or two farms which had obviously just fallen into rack and ruin, presumably still in the same family, just time has gone by and that family's either lost interest in farming or it's an age thing. I do recall speaking to one person, they were saying that around them the farmers were all actually tradesmen in other areas. There was one farmer who was a plumber, there was another farmer who was a carpenter, and that's how they made the farms profitable, or survive, rather. So this last stage, I think, is about... I'm a bit confused here. The sign in Simon's Bath indicated it was 11, presumably miles. But when I looked at the map, it looks more like 11 kilometres. And certainly if I set off now, I'd be there in time for breakfast. So I'm not in any rush at all. But at the same time, I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs. I don't think I'll get the fire going this morning and make a porridge. I've got various bars, and I've still got one of those huge sugary flapjacks left that I bought from the Warren Inn out on Dartmoor, which is nothing but sugar. But it weighs a ton, so I might just munch on that and have a swig of water, and that'll do for breakfast. Looking forward to perhaps a plate of chips or something similar when I get to Lynmouth. I started this thinking I was going to do wild camping and was very enthusiastic about it. And then within two or three days realised that actually that was going to be pretty difficult for various reasons I've already explained. And then tried to get round it by finding people who were camp friendly or farms or little sites. And meeting Carolyn and Pete, who have had similar success but in different areas, I changed my mind thinking, well, perhaps it is possible to do it as a backpacking trip comfortably. But I think for peace of mind, you do need to plan ahead and use the various websites to organise your accommodation. And certainly, I mean, a good example here, Simmons Bath. Pete went down to the pub last night about 8 o'clock and they still hadn't opened. You know, what's the point of having a place there? I can see why these places fall apart, because just there seems to be a certain, in some respects, a lack of interest in actually developing a business or keeping the business going. Or maybe I'm just reading it wrong, maybe there's other circumstances and they've just lost interest for whatever reason. It just then meant that those 15 people that were waiting for food and drinks, plus us, you know, there must have been a good, at least a couple of hundred quid there in the takings, plus the cars that were sitting in the car park waiting. But as I say, maybe there's other factors at play. So I think I'll just doze for another half hour or so. And I might start getting myself together then. There isn't any rush at all. And maybe there might be a bit of sunshine by then, but all I can see at the moment is just grey. A grey ceiling that's pressing down on us. Even the crows are flying low. So I'll catch up with you later.
...11 o'clock, just heard a cuckoo and there's a skylark singing above me. We left the pitch at gone 9, and we're now on Chiriton Ridge, the Tarka Trail, basically the last part of Exmoor before it starts to drop down towards the Myrtlebury Cleeve and Watersmeet. It doesn't actually go down to Watersmeet, it skirts around the top, but we're getting towards that gully. And so another fine day has been appreciated. The breeze is reduced, not very cold. The sun is poking its head out every now and again through the clouds. I see Exmoor ponies grazing over to my left, and the view ahead of me is just open moorland and nobody. Caroline and Pete are just ahead of me. We're sort of sharing the last day's walk together and just appreciating the solitude, really. Sky's behind looking a bit grey, possibly threatening, but we are just sauntering. There's no great rush, with the aim to cover the last, probably about 7 or 8 kilometres, at just a steady crawl, just to make the journey last as long as possible. There's the skylark. So all in all, been very lucky. Apart from that heavy deluge last night that came out of nowhere, and that one night of torrential rain where I chickened out and did a Lee and Tony, it's been a very pleasant crossing. Hey Mum, hey Dad, I can see the sea, I can see the sea! Yes, I am standing above Lynmouth, or walking above Lynmouth, at just before 1 o'clock, following a morning's gentle walk in glorious weather, looking down at sunny Lynmouth. And we've been discussing whether it'd be tea and biscuits, or cream tea, or beer and chips. And the jury is currently out. It depends what our stomachs feel like when we get down there. But Lynmouth looks to be bathed in glorious sunshine. The weather at the moment, the temperature is very pleasantly warm. The sea from this distance looks as calm as anything. There's a mist over the sea, so I can't quite see the horizon where it changes subtly from the sea to the cloud. But I definitely know it's there. Well, that's a week's walking. A variety of different places, a variety of different emotions, a variety of different experiences, surroundings, landscape fairly undulating and possibly similar across south to north. I'd say probably the hills are a little bit steeper and longer in the south than they are in the north, but maybe that's just the route and the way the route takes you. But a very pleasant week, and one I'm going to reflect on as I look back at all the photographs and all the videos and hopefully compile it into some kind of sensible story where I share with you in picture form some of the things that I've actually seen and experienced. Well, the next recording hopefully will be the sound of the water crashing upon the rocks at Lynmouth.
Now here's a top tip you won't find in the Cicerone guidebook or on the maps, and it's one which could really make a difference to your Two Moors Way pleasure. But it's before you get down to sea level. Just before the path starts its long, steep descent to Lynmouth, continue a couple of hundred metres along the top path and you'll see a footpath sign to Windy Post Cross. There's only one path, so you can't miss it. This takes you a short way across a couple of fields, along a track to a bend on the main road, the A39. And here you will find three things. A first-class campsite, the Channel View Caravan and Camping Park, with a small shop and fantastic views from the tent-only section. This is right next to the Beggar's Roost Inn, purveyor of fine ales, excellent food, and a warm welcome. And the Beggar's Roost Inn is partnered with the Exmoor Manor Hotel next door, which offers lovely bright rooms and deep, deep baths, plus the obligatory nice smellies that ladies like. Now, the reason I mention these is that once you descend to Lynmouth, and have filled your belly with any mixture of beer, cream teas, pasties, or chips, you'll not feel like walking back up that steep track with a pack. Plus, there's no camping facilities, etc. down there. However, these aforementioned establishments allow you to either dump your bags and return later, or book in and complete the trip the following day on fresh legs. Now, Caroline, Pete, and myself found ourselves not heeding that advice. In Lynmouth, on a hot day, with a full stomach, a heavy pack, weary legs, and searching for a taxi, which are not 10 to a penny. So take my advice, book in before you descend, and enjoy the pleasure of the final descent to Lynmouth.
And there you have it, the sound of the sea gently lapping the marina at Lynmouth. Finally made it. Feeling pretty good. Had a lovely walk in today. Good company with Caroline and Pete. Glorious weather. Weather's really shone on us. And it's a lovely day to be beside the sea. And you can tell that because there are copious amounts of people having cream teas, drinking beer, eating chips and pasties. So that concludes this little journey. Hopefully the information contained in the last series of podcasts have been of interest to you, and hopefully the extra information that I'll be providing will help you make a decision whether you want to undertake this walk or one like it. But the weather gods have really been on my side the whole way, to be fair, and that has made a massive difference to it. So thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Drop me a note sometime if you can do with your thoughts or comments. That'd be really interesting to see exactly what you thought of this series.
So that concludes the podcast sections relating to the Two Moors Way walk itself. I'd love to hear if you enjoyed the series, so please drop me an email or make a note on the Outdoors Station podcast series. Part 8 is dedicated to gear, and the video should be finished soon, which will show the route, some scenes, and some other useful info should you wish to undertake this delightful walk yourself. So please sign up on theoutdoorstation.co.uk and join our newsletter list, and we'll keep you informed of more developments and trips as they happen. So until next time, folks, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorstation.co.uk.